Thanks very much indeed, Kay, and good morning, everyone. Let me add my welcome to those of the principal, to all of you, particularly to the distinguished international visitors to Scotland. You're very welcome. For my part, I'm really delighted to have the opportunity to talk to you today. I'm here on behalf of Scottish ministers who themselves were unable to attend, but both Minister Keith Brown and Cabinet Secretary Mike Russell send their best wishes to all of you for a successful event. And like the principal, I want to congratulate UNESCO, Learning and Teaching Scotland, Glasgow and Stirling Universities for organising the conference to look at Scottish and global perspectives of literacies. First of all, let me begin by saying that the Scottish Government recognises the importance of literacies to both the people of Scotland and to the Scottish economy. We know that solid literacy and numeracy skills can transform people's lives. So last year, we commissioned a national survey of literacy levels of the adult population. The subsequent report was published on the 13th of August, and it is significant. It gives us up-to-date, robust information. It will be of great use as we develop the next stages of our adult literacy and numeracy policy. I know that Ralph is going to shortly be speaking to you about the survey, and I certainly don't want to steal Ralph's thunder, but I hope you'll forgive me if I refer to three of the key findings in the report to provide some context for what I'm about to say. So first of all, we know that just over 73% of adults in Scotland have a level of skills recognised internationally as appropriate for contemporary society. However, the remaining one quarter of the population, in fact just over 26%, may face occasional challenges or barriers as a result of their low skills, but generally they will cope with their day-to-day lives. However, among this cohort, 3.6% of Scotland's adults, and that's one person in every 28, face serious challenges in their literacy practice. And this can range, I think, from being unable to count their change accurately, or having difficulties in writing their own name and address, or in recognising the destination on the front of a bus. And that's a pretty stark thought to me, to think how life-changing that must be. The government's indicator, meanwhile, and included in our national performance framework as a sign of the importance we accord this agenda, is a specific indicator on this issue. That indicator shows a very slight improvement in the number of adults with low or no qualifications. So together, these figures show there's both cause for satisfaction, but room also clearly for improvement. If we're to realise the government's ambition, a wealthier, a fairer, a smarter Scotland, we need to find more ways of supporting adults to reach their full potential. For us, that means thinking across the breadth of Scottish Government portfolios about the emphasis that should be placed on building capacity in literacy and numeracy. For example, we're currently working with NHS Scotland to increase literacy skills and awareness among health service staff. And this theme of cross-cutting partnership working is going to emerge throughout what I say to you this morning. So we recognise, let me be clear, the huge potential that learning has to empower individuals and society. And our vision is of a learning nation where everyone has access to lifelong learning opportunities to improve their skills so they can progress in their lives as individuals, family members, workers and citizens. But I'm afraid we can't discuss this future vision without putting it into context. We face a desperately challenging economic climate. The economic recovery underway in Scotland is fragile, and we're cautious about employment prospects as Scotland begins to return to growth. To accelerate our recovery, we need to make sure our skills and training support are substantial, sustainable, and flexible. Against this background, we're shortly going to publish a refreshed skills strategy with a renewed focus on the skills necessary for economic recovery and long-term success. The strategy is going to be built around four themes: empowering Scotland's people, supporting Scotland's employers, simplifying Scotland's skills system, and strengthening partnerships both locally and nationally. I'll take each of those themes in turn, if I may. Empowering Scotland's people means we need to ensure they can access the right advice and support, as well as the opportunities to acquire the skills they need benefit from future economic success. And an important part of achieving this will be to improve levels of adult literacy and numeracy. Improving employability capacity is crucial if we're to develop a competitive economy, promote education and lifelong learning, tackle ill health, and improve well-being. So as I said earlier, reaching across the range of government and societal interests. And a job, quite frankly, is an important springboard, bringing much more than financial independence and productivity. It provides opportunities for networking, building friendships, strengthening confidence. Second, the strategy is going to focus on better supporting Scotland's employers by improving our understanding and assessment of the skills they need for future success, and matching that with a responsive supply of learning and qualifications. Third, the strategy will simplify Scotland's skills system. It's got to be more coherent, it's got to be easier to understand for individuals and employers. And finally, it's going to strengthen partnerships. We want to build collective responsibility between the public, private and third sectors across Scotland to help improve skills and the contribution they make towards achieving Scotland's societal and economic aspirations. Self-evidently, I think improved partnership working is central to responding to financial pressure. So the refreshed skills strategy is going to appear this autumn. Do look out for it. Let me move on just to a brief point, something about a matter that struck me when I came into this job. And again, I think a self-evident necessity. And that's the need to reduce the stigma associated with poor levels of literacy and numeracy. An adult learner can find re-entering the world of learning a daunting prospect, especially if they've had a negative experience in the past. And for many adult learners, it's their first contact with education for some years or decades. Never more so, I think, than in the field of literacies. And individuals may need a great deal of courage, not only because of the fear of failure, but also because of this accompanying stigma which literacies learning often attracts. This is why the government continues to work with partners such as Skills Development Scotland and Learning and Teaching Scotland to raise awareness of literacies and reduce stigma through our Big Plus campaign. I have to say, I'm particularly impressed by the range of methods used to encourage reluctant learners. We have powerful TV commercials, and we also have the popular SBL Reading Stars campaign, which uses the motivational power of football to attract families into really engaging literacy sessions in libraries across the country. I'll just pause and make clear to our international visitors, anyone else that needs to know, that the SPL is Scotland's premier football division, in case that news hasn't reached some of us. But as you know better than me, literacies learning can have a positive impact at a social, economic and behavioural level. At a social level, it can give people the confidence and skills to interact with one another, to contribute to their local community, and the means to broaden their interests, widen their horizons. At an economic level, it can mean the difference between employment and unemployment, earning a living wage, getting promoted, generally having a better lifestyle. Imagine, again, being unable to access the internet, and being shut out from online offers, further learning opportunities, and the enormous variety of learning channels. I mean, it's an extraordinary prospect. And at a behavioural level, there are many examples of people using learning to transform their lives. It can help break the pattern of criminal behaviour. It can provide a positive outlook, giving offenders or those at risk of offending more hope, and help them realise the benefits of living within society instead of working against it. The LTS, Learning and Teaching Scotland, Adult Literacies Report for 2009, Kay held up a copy earlier, do read it, provides terrific examples of what can be achieved by learners when they access support that's appropriate to their needs. So as I say, do read the report. You've got it in your pack, and I imagine you can find it on the website. Enhancing literacy and numeracy skills also, of course, supports future generations, and improving literacy and numeracy capacity in families means we maximise children and young people's potential, helping to reduce the cycle of disadvantage and unemployment across generations. So, throughout today, you're going to get the chance to listen to experts in the field of adult literacies. We discuss the empowering role they play in promoting participation, health and well-being, citizenship and social development. I want to take a moment to concentrate on the importance of literacy, numeracy and citizenship, because herein is another practical and perfect example of the cross-cutting benefits of improving these skills. The Census Learning Pack, developed in partnership between the Government and the General Registers of Scotland, GROS. This pack is a resource for tutors and teachers to help both adult literacies learners and adults whose first language is not English better understand the purpose of the census and prepare them to complete the census next year. So it will help build learners' confidence and skills successfully to complete the form, but also to appreciate the importance of their participation in an exercise contributing directly to the future of this country. We're launching the pack today, and it's available on the Adult Literacies Online website, and that's www.aloscotland.com. That's aloscotland.com. Now, just a few moments on what the Scottish Government itself is doing further to improve performance against our national indicator. At present, we're working on a literacy action plan, and that's going to set out priorities for all learners across the lifelong learning continuum, from early years to adulthood. The aim to improve standards of literacy and numeracy. The action plan will set out our vision for ensuring the people of Scotland have the skills and confidence they need to achieve their goals and to support a dynamic and growing economy. I'm particularly delighted, actually, having listened to Principal Muscatelli, to say that we're ahead of schedule and on task to publish this autumn, I think. Sitting alongside it will be some specific, clear actions for adult literacies. More generally, of course, it's nearly 10 years since the then Scottish Executive published the Adult Literacy and Numeracy in Scotland report, or ALNIS. Between 2001 and 2008, governments in Scotland invested £65 million in the strategy, with funding routed through local authority-led adult literacy and numeracy partnerships. Nearly 200,000 learners, five times the capacity of Hampden Park, for example, our national football stadium, will help to improve their illiteracies during this time. Of course, they continue to be supported. Scotland's strategy has been internationally celebrated for its social practice approach. We can be proud of many of its achievements. In particular, the collaborative effort between different organisations has contributed to a diverse delivery landscape in which learners can achieve their personal goals and progress to new opportunities. Another recent example, the Kickstart programme run by Moray Council's Essential Skills and Moray College teams run together. Over a four-week course during the summer, students brush up on their skills in preparation for starting college. However, nearly 10 years on from all this, we're living in a different world. Public services are adapting to sharply reduced funding. The relationship in Scotland between national and local government has been fundamentally changed. The world is technologically very different, and we have new knowledge about levels of literacy and numeracy need among Scotland's adults. So now is the right time to reassess our strategy, to reaffirm its core elements contributing to the success, and to challenge ourselves to achieve more with less resource. I'm going to be plain about that, for the benefit of all Scotland's citizens. So often, and as I've said earlier, it was ever thus, the solutions lie in partnerships. A term that I would acknowledge is sometimes rather loosely bandied around, but over the next decade, there will need to be robust, powerful collaboration between referral agencies, delivery providers, employers, national and local stakeholders to make this happen. Both the Literacy Action Plan and the specific actions for adult literacy and numeracy will demonstrate the Scottish Government's pledge to increasing the literacy capability of the population in order to meet the changing demands of modern society, workplace, family and communities. These actions and the work that you do sit at the heart of social inclusion. This means opportunities for participation and choice, building capacity in individuals and communities, and empowering people to identify and make the changes they need to progress in their lives. Government, its national agencies and partner bodies, and decision makers at local level need to make the connections between literacy and numeracy and other policies. But by now you'll see I mean connecting literacy, numeracy and development with the positive outcomes of health and well-being, with financial capability and with employability, just to name three. As an example of this cross-agency model, the next stages for the adult literacy and numeracy policy development is being informed by a strategic advisory group on which sit representatives of key sectors and organisations. And there'll also be an opportunity for the wider stakeholder community and the public to comment on a draft when we post it on our Scottish Government website late autumn. So please then take the opportunity to provide your thoughts, because they'll help us to inform the final version, which will launch at the end of the year. Let me wrap up then, if I may. If I have to leave you with one thought today, it is, as you will have gathered, to urge you to continue to seek out new avenues for working in partnership. And it's important that these partnerships, I think, include businesses and employers. In the current and future economic climates, it's crucial we all plan and coordinate provision, share resources, and maximise opportunities for learners. I know everyone here today is fully committed to adult learning in all its forms. Your presence makes that clear. Let me reassure you once again, as I did at the outset, that I, my Scottish Government colleagues who are represented, and indeed, and critically, Scottish ministers, share that commitment. And let me wish you, in conclusion, good luck with your conference, and to thank you for inviting me to be part of it. I think you are going to be in for a really interesting day. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Michael, for providing the address on behalf of the Scottish Government. I think it was very helpful for Michael to finish his address by reminding us of the importance of partnership working, of working in cross-sectoral ways, and also of including the business community in this very challenging financial time. Today is all about the opportunities for partnership working, and not only to hear from our distinguished speakers, but also to have that opportunity to go into our discussion groups and really to begin that development of thinking of how we can move forward in partnership in these difficult times. So thank you very much, Michael. We appreciate the address.